The following Dafyomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a different group of people, either from the previous 12th cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Tetvav, and we're holding the Halakha Mishnah right on the top of the daf. So we were discussing yesterday our machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir about Gezerat Tikra, when we had two explanations and what that machloket was, if you recall. We had Rav's approach and we had Shmuel's approach. So on the surface, there was a machloket about whether you can sit in a sukkah where the schach is made out of slats. And the question was whether Nisarim are going to make you think that you could also sit at home under your tikra, and therefore it's called gzera tikra. Rabbi Meir said you cannot. Rabbi Yehuda said you can. Now yesterday we had, and all of this is going to turn out to be very important for today, so it's well worth the brief review. Yesterday we had two approaches. According to Rav, they're only arguing about slats that are 4 tefachim wide. If it's less than 4 tefachim wide, there's no gzera tikra. According to Shmuel, just the opposite. If they're 4 tefachim wide, everybody agrees there's a universal gzera tikra. It's only if they're less than 4 tefachim wide, but still more than, or starting from 3 and up, there we have the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, because a stam tikra is 4 tefachim. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that we don't argue. We don't make a gzera tikra. If it's something that's less than the standard tikra, that's more like srach rather than a tikra. Now, keeping that in mind, we find that this Mishnah either appears shockingly out of order with what we said before, or, depending on how we understand it, it appears to be simply repetitive. So here we start the case as follows. Tikra she'ina leho ma'aziva. What this means is that your existing tikra, you didn't build this tikra for a sukkah, the tikra of your living room was a tikra that did not have a ma'aziva. Ma'aziva is what you usually put above your tikra to serve basically as, you know, you take concrete or you take cement and you put it over and you smooth things down and so on. Here you are left just with the raw tikra, the wood, the slats of wood that are on the ceiling. Now you want to sit in it for sukkahs. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what to do about this is a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. According to Beit Shammai, you would have to unscrew every piece of wood, and you'd have to lift it up and put it down again in order to avoid the tassav elamina also issue, because since you've got a house, not a sukkah, what that means is that this is possible by definition. Forget about whether you hold of gzerat tikra. This is possible by definition because it wasn't laid here for a sukkah. So it needs to be laid here for sukkah, not for house.
These like rafters?
Or they, yeah. Whatever, you call them what you want. I mean, they're the standard inside of a roof that doesn't have a ceiling that's been plastered over it or on top. So you're going to have to, now, there's a little bit of a machlok is what the fak fake means. According to Rashi, it seems to mean you'd have to unscrew each one of the slats, and you'd have to also lift it up and set it down again. Others learn that if it's screwed, you can just unscrew it. And if it's laid down loosely, you can lift it up. Some even learn that in Rashi. Whatever the case is, pikpuk means you can use the piece, but you have to do something to the piece. Unscrew it, move it, make it miyuchad for your sukkah. Plus, after you do that, says Beit Shammai, you're still going to have to remove every other piece and use kosher schach between every piece. That's not going to be enough to be mafakimik. Now we're going to...
Do the boards, are they considered schach?
That's what we're going to see. That's what we're going to need to analyze. I mean, what's the meaning of what Beit Shammai is saying? Beit Hillel says, no, yeah, well, either one or the other is good. You can either be mafakfek and lift each one up, and then it was put down the shame sukkah. Or, if you don't want to do that, take out every other one and put down kosher schach. What do I care? Rabbi Meir says, no, there's no option. The only thing you can do is no telachat b'ben atayim and not to be mafakfek. You're going to have to take one, every other board out. Now, this sounds very much like it relates to the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir as to whether those boards are going to serve, as Richie just pointed out, and schach, right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can use boards as schach because he doesn't hold of gzirat tikra. Well, at least according to Rav, he doesn't. Gets a little complicated. Rabbi Meir, who does hold of gzirat tikra, we would expect him to say, well, what good is taking it off and putting it back down again? You're just putting down schach puzzle. If you want to use this, you're going to have to remove the boards and replace it with schach kosher. You have to remove all the boards, but as long as you'll have schach kosher, mostly schach kosher, we'll see how that comes out to be mostly later, and therefore that would be the way to be makshir your sukkah. Now, let's try to get a simple explanation, and then we'll zero in on what's happening. So let's take Beit Hillel. Okay, Beit Hillel makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's exactly what you would say if you had a problem of Tassiv Alominosa, and you hold, I mean, this is Rabbi Yehuda reporting Beit Hillel. Well, we know that Rabbi Yehuda definitely holds that according to Beit Hillel, there shouldn't be Gzerat Tikra, because there were Yod, there's no Gzerat Tikra. So if he's reporting Beit Hillel's opinion, it's certainly going to be consistent with his opinion, because that's why he's got that opinion. He's not going like Beit Shammai. So that means that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Hillel's got a problem only of what? Tassiv Alominosa. Not of Gzerat Tikra. I don't know of Gzerat Tikra, neither did he. So therefore, what's their problem? The problem is, do you write the problem? Tassiv Alominosa, this ceiling was not made for a sukkah, it was made for your dining room, therefore you can't sit and eat under it. Now, what do? You do something. You're mifak fake, fine, so now you did a tassa. What was your tassa? You put down the slats again, so ovid le maisa. If you take out every other one and you replace it with kosher schach, you're also ovid le maisa. I don't care what you do, because each one of these pieces is just as good as bamboo. I mean, what's the difference? So it's all kosher. Beit Shammai. Now, I don't exactly understand Beit Shammai, but I understand that there's got to be an additional problem in that Beit Shammai holds that you not only have an issue of Tassiv Alominosa, you've got a Gzerat Tikra issue, therefore you've got to remove every other board. But if you remove every other board, what the heck did you have to move the other boards for? So what does he say? Well, first you got to unscrew them, you have to lift them up, put them down, and then you have to remove every other board. I mean, it's a little overkill, isn't it? So according to Beit Shammai, if they hold Tassiv Alominosa, you should be able to do either one. If they've got a problem of using these slats, even if it wasn't Tassiv Alominosa, because of Gzerat Tikra, so then the only thing that you can do is take out every other one, right? So no talakat be benatayim. That's what you got to do. Says the Gemara, the truth is that we're misreading Beit Shammai. Actually, it's clear that they hold a Gzerat Tikra. There's no way to avoid that because they're saying you got to remove every other one. What are you going to do? So obviously they hold a Gzerat Tikra. So Le'olam Yishum Gzerat Tikra. They were not saying that you have to do both. What they were saying is, hey, smarty pants who thought that you could be mefakfek and that would be enough because you think you got to handle Tassiv Alominosa. No way, it's not going to help you. Even if you went ahead and you were mefakfek, you're still going to have to go ahead and be no telachat mi benatayim. So if you were no telachat mi benatayim, then you've got a solution to your dining room. But if not, you don't have a solution and it's still not going to be kosher. Because even though you dealt with the problem of Tassiv Alominosa, you did not deal with the Rabbanan of the Gzerat Tikra. Yilolo. What are you talking about? How could that be what Beit Shammai says? Then what you're telling me is that Beit Shammai is saying word for word what Rabbi Meir said. Yeah, read on. Amos Seif, okay, Rabbi Meir Omer, no. You have to be no tel achat mi ben hatayim, and it's not going to help you to be mefakfek. Did you just say that is what the Beit Shammai was meaning? So, no tel achat mi ben hatayim, of a lo yefakfek, the way you're understanding the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir is a precise copy of Beit Shammai. Indeed, that's the point. Achikamah. The point is, lo nechlaku Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel b'davar zeh. That's the point that the Rabbi Meir is making. Nobody disagrees. There's one option and only one option. You could stop thinking about mefakfek because it's not going to help you. Because, and obviously this is Rabbi Meir l'shitato, everybody agrees that there's a gzirat tikra. What good is putting down slats? Even if they're put down the shame sukkah, it's not going to help you. Okay, fine. Let's assume for a moment this is the pshat in the Mishnah. So then tell me, what is the point of the Mishnah, will you please? Now what? There's a machlokas of gzeras tikra. We spent the whole day yesterday discussing that. But we now have to repeat it. So my kamashvan, that Rabbi Meir holds of gzeras tikra, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of gzeras tikra. Thank you very much. We just had that yesterday and spent the whole dafyomi on it. The Tznan, that was the previous Mishnah. Misachachim bin Isarim divi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir oser. What's going on here? Well, says Rabbi Chiya bar Rava, I'll tell you what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said you got to do over yesterday's daf because it was all wrong. It was a big mistake.
It was convenient that you put it on a different daf.
Yeah. You remember yesterday that Rabbi Yaakov asked, and what about if it's painted? Now, I know that sounds silly that it should make a difference if it's painted, but it does make a difference. Actually, that's what we were arguing about yesterday. We weren't arguing about Gzeirat Tikra. There was another Gzeirat that you might not have heard of, and that's called Gzeirat Kelim. And Gzeirat Kelim means that if you've got wood, which is processed wood, so now it's smoothed down, it's varnished, okay. Some people look at that and they say, oh, that's not just wood, that's processed. Of course, processed equals, and someone who's not a bookie, equals in his mind, Kelim. Huh. Process, basically, you know, it's a cutting board. It's the same thing. And they're now going to say, what's the difference if I use a nice piece of polished wood or I take some counter out of my kitchen, which may indeed be makabel tuma, and I'll use that, and so on. So because of that, yesterday we weren't talking about the Gzeiras Tikra. We were talking about nisarim mishupim maskin. We're talking about smooth nisarim, which are not generally what you use in your ceiling. And we weren't talking about wide ones. The problem was Gzeirat Kelim. And that was the machlokas in the Mishnah, whether we hold of Gzeirat Kelim or not. Today we get to a new thing, whether we hold of Gzeirat Tikra or not. So if there's Mishum, Gzeirat Kelim Naguba. But wait a minute, Gzeirat Kelim. Remember, Rabbi Yudah Marav said you can use male arrows, but you can't use female arrows. I mean, for heaven's sakes, if people are going to get confused between a smoothed piece of wood or a painted piece of wood and a kli, they are certainly going to get confused between the male part of the arrow and the female part of the arrow. So obviously, somebody doesn't know this is Gzeiras Kelim, right? So sichacha b'chitzim zicharim k'sherab nekevat psula. Why isn't he gozer zicharim otu nekevot? Well, obviously there's a big difference. I mean, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Who's going to get mixed up between? But nonetheless, he should certainly hakanami lo nigzar nisarim meshupim otu kelim. According to him, I mean, he can't explain the mission like that. Okay, so you know what? Yeah, we got a simple explanation. According to him, obviously, you're left with no option. Yesterday's Mishnah, which is the Reisha, was arguing about Gzeirat Tikra. Today's Mishnah, which is the Seifa, is arguing about Gzeirat Tikra. I mean, so why do we need two? Can you explain that to me? Safliga betartis bin lamali. Ah, you see, you misunderstand the point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is an ongoing discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So the first part of the Mishnah says, I hold of a Gzeirat Tikra, says Rabbi Meir. Says Rabbi Yehuda, what's the difference of using the Sarim? Go right ahead, use the Sarim. Oh, I know what you're thinking, Rabbi Meir. You're thinking that there's a Gzeirat Tikra. Ah, there is, according to Beit Shammai. I'm assuming you're posturing like Beit Shammai, because Beit Hillel says, Tikra she'in alei maziva, there's no problem. You can use the same slats. To which Rabbi Meir responds, nonsense. There was no such machloket, and everybody agreed in that case that you must remove every other board. So it's basically a continuation of yesterday's discussion, in which Rabbi Yehuda attempts to prove his point by saying, well, you're not going to pass him like Beit Shammai, are you? He's the one who holds Gzeiras Tikra. Let's read that inside. So the Seifa is Rabbi Yehuda, the Karma of the Rabbi Meir. What he's saying to Rabbi Meir is, look, why are you telling me I can't use slats? Amaika asartim in the Sarim. Obviously because you hold that there's a thing called Gzeirat Tikra. But that issue of Gzeirat Tikra, Haisvara, is only true a little bit of Beit Shammai. He's the one, the Itlu, who holds of that. Beit Hillel does not believe that there is a Gzeirat Tikra at all. Lo Gazre. To which Rabbi Meir responds, V'yomer Rabbi Meir, not true. Lo Nechlaku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel B'davar Zeh. Now, we have a very interesting pirush on the Mishnah, and it works out just fine, unless, unfortunately, you understand the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda yesterday the way Shmuel did. Because according to Shmuel, everybody holds of Gzeirat Tikra, including Rabbi Yehuda. So how do you explain the fact that all of a sudden Rabbi Yehuda has changed his mind and says, oh, it's perfectly okay, according to Beit Hillel, to use slats. And don't try to tell me what we mean, slats that are less than four. Because it's talking about a tikra. The whole point is that a standard tikra is four. You certainly can't squeeze that into the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, let's see it inside. Hanichal Rav, our entire discussion works out perfectly well. Yes, according to Rav, who says that the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is only where there are four tefachim on each slab. So Rabbi Meir holds the Gzerat Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Gzerat Tikra. So now this Mishnah continues that discussion. Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, the only one who holds that? Beit Shammai, not Beit Hillel. No, says Rabbi Meir, everybody holds it. Fine. But according to Shmuel, even Rabbi Yehuda is Maida in this case. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that you do not need to remove every other board if a Kalibah Rabbi Yehuda himself? You have a Gzerat Tikra. So as the Gemara, the Shmuel, the Yomar B'Shein Be'em Arba'ah Machloket, Avayesh Be'em Arba'ah, even Rabbi Yehuda, Divrei HaKol, it's Psula. So how do you explain this Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, beautiful answer. Look, there's two different cases, aren't there? The first Mishnah was talking about somebody who puts up schach, misachech v'nesarim. Why was he putting up that schach? For his sukkah, right? So now there was a question as to whether we make a gzerat tikra. So Rabbi Yehuda was saying, Aliba Shmuel, well, we got to make a gzerat tikra. But our Mishnah specifically talks about a case where it already is a tikra. Now, you don't think that that's significant? It already is a tikra. It's not a gzerat tikra. It's completely possible, right? Certainly everybody agrees it's completely possible. It's the tikra of your living room, your dining room. It's not a sukkah. So what you're trying to do is make it kosher. How are you going to make it kosher? That's the machlok. Now, in this Mishnah, what Rabbi Yehuda says is, now wait a minute. Where you're using something initially as schach, I believe that we make the gzeras tikra. When somebody walks in and tears apart a roof to make it into a kosher sukkah, what are you going to tell him? No, no, sorry, sir, you can't sit under that. You may get confused and sit under a roof. It looks like you're crazy. I might get confused. I just spent 2 days tearing apart my roof because I know the din of Tassiv al-Amanasar. You must think I'm out of my mind. So if I'm that crazy, I'm not chayav in the mitzvah sukkah anyway. What are you making a gzera on? So basically, this question is a question of whether, and there's a question that we entertained yesterday, is gzerat tikra a gezerah on the individual, or is it a definition on the material? And that's what this Mishnah is basically coming to discuss. So the Seifa is completely different. Seifa b'may plige says the Gemara b'bitulei tikra k'miflige. They're talking about an existing tikra that you're tearing apart. Mar sovar batla b'hachi. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, there is only Beit Shammai who would say that in a case where a guy is tearing apart his roof, you still have to view the materials as possible for schach, though he clearly knows that there's the whole din of Tassav Lamanos, which is why he's tearing apart his roof. Whereas Beit Hillel said, nah, you don't have to worry about that. So says Rabbi Yehuda, okay, obviously I go like Beit Hillel, and therefore the tikra is batal. Why do I need to use real schach? I am using real schach, because I've made it a non-gzera tikra neser. So everything's fine. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, oh no, the gzera tikra is that you cannot use slats, period. I don't care what the circumstances are, whether you're setting them down now or whether you're going out of your way to tear apart an existing tikra. There's no way that we are makshir slats of four tefachim for a schach at all. And according to Shmuel, it would be, of course, even less than four tefachim. And so we have a beautiful conclusion of the sugya of gzera tikra here. Expanded into Bitulei Tikra. Amazing how we discover new and wonderful issues every day.
Bad news.
And now for a word from our president.
Doctor, I think you're
Hamikaretsu kato bishpodinu ba'arukot hamita. Look, everybody starts their sukkah with kirui. Not for schach purposes, for support purposes, right? That means you're going to be putting branches on your sukkah. Okay, but you need some heavy pieces of wood to be able to support that schach, okay? So what this guy does is he takes apart his bed. You know, beds are made with a headboard, a footboard, and then two long boards, sideboards on the side that click in, you know. So he takes them out. He says, this would be a nice piece. He puts it across, big, long piece, puts it across the sukkah. puts down two of these. Maybe he takes part of his wife's bed, puts down four of these. And on top of that, he's going to be putting down his schach. Or he may work in Richie's Pizza, which became a shvarma joint. So he's got a lot of shpudim now. So he used the shpudim for the shvarma, and he puts it across the roof.
Wouldn't work.
No. No, they could be metal ones. And he now puts the schach on top of the shpudim. What's the din? Well, if you have an equal amount of empty space as you have the Arukot Amita, or you have the Shkudim, then it would be kosher. We'll see why. And then, at last, our classic, ultimate, Tasim and Asri case, you dig out your haystack. So if you're Chotet Begadish, if the reason you were Chotet Begadish was to look for a needle, so then everybody understands it's not a sukkah. But even if you were Chotet Begadish La Sukkah Sukkah, and you hollow out that haystack, it's still not a sukkah, because what is left on top of the sichuch is totally Tasev Olam HaAsri. No act whatsoever was done.
They have a picture of all of that haystack.
No sichuch was made, but ended up being there by the removal of the hay beneath it, not by the... Yeah, you could. Couldn't it? Okay. Says the Gemara, now it's a little bit strange that having the amount of space equal to the amount of tuma area, which is not kosher, is sufficient. Wouldn't you need to have most of the space, a little bit more than half, to have your schach kosher? Why is that enough? Well, the truth is that there is a machloket when it comes to the dinim of mechitzot on Shabbat that has bearing on this. And in fact, the Mishnah that says that it's kosher seems to be a conclusive disproof of Ravuna Bered Rav Yoshua. Leimat Havita Yufta Ravuna Bered Rav Yoshua. Deitma. Porutz Ke'omeid. Now, the classic case is where we get just to a post-Lovud situation. Lovud only works if it's less than three tefachim. So what do? You take slats that are precisely three tefachim, and you put them in the ground, and you leave three tefachim empty. Uh-oh, no lovud now. Put down another slat, another three tefachim. So now you've got an equal amount of space that is covered with slat and an equal amount of space that is open air space, which is called porutz ka'omeid. There's just as much area that is open to the air as there is area that is mechitza. Does that constitute a valid mechitza for Shabbos to allow you to carry within those mechitzot? So here we have a machloket. Rav Papa says, well, that's enough. If it's half and half, it's fine. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua says, no. You've got to have more of the mechitza than of the empty space. Now, in the same case here, it should work in the inverse, right? That according to Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, it's not enough to have half. So then why in our Mishnah is it enough to have exactly half of schach kosher? Shouldn't be enough, because basically you had the porutz ka'imeid. Amar Ravuna Bereder of Yeshua. Says Ravuna Bereder of Yeshua, well, when it says in the Mishnah, im yesh revach b'nehem kimotan, it doesn't mean kimotan. It means im yesh revach b'nehem kimotan, that you could put a piece inside the area that is empty. So in other words, there's enough space between each sideboard of the bed to be able to fit in another sideboard. But if you're able to fit in another sideboard, obviously it's an extra millimeter or two on every side that allows you to put it in and out, not that you're going to have to be banging it in, so it just gets by the friction of touching the other one. So that means you leave, there's a little space extra. What is that supposed to mean? The Mishnah said, kimotan. How do you know that the guy didn't take a ruler? That's what the words mean. Kimotan. Guy took a ruler and he put exactly each headboard down. He doesn't care to put in another headboard between the two headboards. Or put this side board. So he takes a ruler, he measures, okay, 6 inches for this sideboard. 6 inches. Here's the next one. 6 inches. And here's the next one. So, Hayav Shalat Samtsen. This is where Rashi learns. Hayav Shalat Samtsen. You might have done it exactly. I mean, the Mishnah says, Kimotan. What makes you think that there's slightly more space than there is Tuma? Om Ravani, I don't mean that the person couldn't have been accurate. What I mean is that it was done on purpose this way. Mema'adif. Basically, what happened is the guy is building this patio. So what does he want to do? He wants to be able to insert another piece and screw it in after sukkahs. Okay, he knows he can't use that for sukkahs, so he leaves out every other board. Obviously, he can't make it one right up against the other. He'll never get the other board in. So he leaves a little extra space on purpose. So he measures 6.5 inches between every 6 inches. So Mamela, the case in the Mishnah, is a case where you have a little bit more schach kosher. So he's Mahdi. Rava says, come on. I mean, it doesn't say that. There's got to be a more obvious solution. And I'll tell you what the obvious solution is, for heaven's sakes. The guy is putting up these boards for what purpose? Not to use them as schach. He's putting up the boards to support the schach. But he's going to support the schach. He can't put the schach between them. He's going to be putting the schach over them. Right? So if, in other words, if they're going east to west, then the schach is going to be going north to south. If they're going north to south, the schach is going to be going east to west. So basically, it's going to be a crossbeam situation. Well, so now, I got news for you. Wherever something is supporting something else that's going in the opposite direction above it, there's always more of the thing that's on top. By definition, how else is it being held up? That means that you're going to have more schach kosher. You're going to be mevatel the other schach. That's the point. I don't care about the space over here. So the point is that afilu teima b'she'eino ma'adiv, if the shpudim were in the direction of Shati, then the schach is in the direction of Erev. If it's Erev, then the schach is put in the direction of Shati. Well, basically, you've got a weave over here. And if you wouldn't have it that way, they would fall straight through the holes, right? Therefore, what you have over here is schach kosher meruba and the schach pasul. And we said if you have schach kosher meruba, it's mevatel the schach pasul. That's the point. Now, one thing that does bother me is that you're claiming that the sideboards of a bed, obviously you don't have the bed, you've only got the boards. But the boards of a bed are no longer mekabel tumah because you took the bed apart. So now you got a broken bed. So how in the world are you going to tell me that it's possible because of mekabel tumah? I know. Apparently, we have no choice but to conclude that the controversial psak of Rav Ami Bar Tivyumi is true. And what was that psak? The Omer Rav Ami Bar Tivyumi, Sichacha Bivaloi Kelim Psula. That if you've got worn out clothing, let's say, which is now rags, less than the size of Kabbalah's Tumah, nonetheless, if it came from a kli, initially, it remains puzzle from the schach. So if that's the case, wherever something started off as a plea, even if it's now, it's a broken piece, there people for sure get mixed up with the shiurim and whether it is a broken piece. So therefore, we answered even worn out Caleb. It's still puzzle. Says the Gemara, no. Not necessarily. There's another issue over here. And if you were a bucky in Masechet Kelim, you'd know exactly what the other issue is. And that is, just as Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe, or some of the gears Rav Chanan Amar Rav, which makes more sense, just like Rav Chanan Amar Rav said in the Mishnah in Kelim, which we're going to get to in a moment, that we're talking about a case where your sideboard or your headboard has got two legs attached to it. It's not just a board. So you have the arucha with two legs, b'shtei kara'ayim, or you have the tzara, you have the headboard or the footboard, u'shtei kara'ayim, and that was sufficient for the Mishnah in Kelim, which we're going to see. Well, it's also sufficient for the Mishnah in Sukkah. Now we're talking about over here, arucha u'shtei kara'ayim, and a tzara b'shtei kara'ayim. Now, where was that discussion? Where was that Mishnah? Let me explain it to you. Heichit by the Rav Chanan Amar Rav, ahad etzna. The Mishnah in Kelim says that a bed, beds are always made out of these different pieces. They put together a headboard and a footboard and side pieces. So the Mishnah says that a mita is only mekabel tumah when it's assembled. So it's metama chavila, and you can only be metahir it if you put it into the mikveh as a bed. You can't put it into the mikveh as pieces of wood and then say it's going to be tahir if it's reassembled into a bed. So you can only be metahir it chavila. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer, and the Chachamim say not true. A mita can be makabel tumah in pieces. Even if it's evarim, it's v'tameh evarim, and you can put it into the mikveh in pieces, which certainly is a heck of a lot easier to be metayeret that way. So it's metayeret evarim. Now, That can't mean literally. I mean, pieces. Mighty's over there. We said, what do we mean, mighty? What are the pieces? And it was there that Rav Kahn and Amar Rebbe said, well, pieces mean usable pieces that stand on their own as kelim. And that would be either a sideboard with two attached legs, or a headboard or a footboard with two attached legs. Why? Because they function as kelim all on their own. They do. What good are they? I'll tell you what good they are. They are basically a portable bed. Why? Because wherever you go, you're always going to be able to find some rocks or something, a low wall, right? If you've got one of these things, you set this up at a certain distance from the low wall, which you're going to use to support two sticks, two branches that you put on this thing. And now you've got a bed. Well, it's sort of Mu'ultar bed, you know. It's partizani. But basically, if you got this, it's very easy to create a bed. So you've got your headboard. All you need now is some branches that you stick onto your headboard. You put it across onto a low wall. And now if you've got a string, the way they made beds, of course, they just put the string around the two motherboards, and you sleep on the strings, or you put your blanket on the strings. You got a nice stringy, springy mattress. The Sukhnut loves those kind of mattresses. And as any of the early Olim can tell you. And, oh, God. So, it would be useful for L'may Chaz L'mesbechina Aguda, you bring it up near a wall, the L'may Tavalaya, you put down things on it, and then your Mashti Ashla. You put strings, and you tie them between the two sides, and you got yourself a Mu'ultar bed. Tikra Shedan L'mazivah Reb Yudom Reb Chamei Omrim Mefakfek Enotelach Abibin HaTayim Reb Tilal Omrim. What do you need to do both for? Either Mefakfek or no telach Abibin HaTayim. Reb Meir says there isn't both. There's only no telach bin time. What would be the point of being mefakfek? I don't mefakfek. I'm mefakfek in this whole thing. So bishleim a bit hillel ta'amayon mishum ta'asev lo min ha'asui. So okay, what's the difference? What you do? You just got to do something. You can be mefakfek of it b'maisa. If you know telach bin time of it b'maisa. But according to Beit Shammai, my ta'amayon. If you hold ta'asev lo min ha'asui, do one or the other. B'chodesak. If you're the Gzera Tikra and you're saying the slats are no good, what's the point of being Mifak Fake? So then, no Talachat Bibinatayim is the only thing that's going to help you. Liola Mishum Gzera Tikra. What Beit Shammai meant was, hey, what's your point of being Mifak Fake? Even if you are Mifak Fake, you know Talachat Bibinatayim, it's going to help. And if not, it's not going to help. One second, if that's what he's saying, so then Ema Seifa. Rabbi Meir Omer no talachat b'bein ha'tayim av lo yefak fake. Rabbi Meir is now repeating the words of Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai, yeah, that's the point. Achikama. Lil nechleku Beit Shammai b'tilo b'dover. Everybody agrees, basically to my opinion, that if you cannot use these slats. So then I don't get it. So my kamashma, the Rabbi Meir, it like zerat tikra. Rabbi Yudah let like zerat tikra. That was the whole point of yesterday's discussion. Afliga b'chodazimna. Well, the first Mishnah, actually, we misunderstood. And it was really talking about a whole different issue. And the Reisha was referring to Nisarim Meshupim. And the question wasn't Gzerat Tikra. The question was Gzerat Kelim Naguba. That was the issue. Gzerat Kelim. And what about according to Rav Yudah Merah? Well, we don't even hold of Gezerat Kelim between Chitzim Zecharim and Nekevot. Don't ask a chab of Chitzim Zecharim Kshira. B'Nekevot Tzula, v'lo Gazar Zecharim Ota Nekevot. So obviously he couldn't possibly hold that if you don't get confused between that you're going to get confused with the Zecharim Meshupim Ota Kelim. It's ridiculous. So according to him, well, what are you going to say? I mean, our Korcha, the Reisha is arguing Gezerat Tikra, because there's no such thing as Gezerat Kelim. And the Seif is also arguing about Gzerat Tikra. So what do you need to do for it? Actually, Seifa is Rabbi Yehuda proving his point to Rabbi Meir. I'm a little Rabbi Meir. What's your problem, Rabbi Meir? Amayka Sarta Minasari. Because you believe in this Gzerat Tikra business. That's a Beit Shammai Svara. I Svara a Beit Shammai Yehuda Yitra. But Beit Yehuda is not Gozer. To which Rabbi Meir responded, not true. Everybody agrees to me that there is such a thing as a Gzeirat Tikra. Now, this entire explanation only works according to Rav. Where Rabbi Meir holds Gzeirat Tikra, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold Gzeirat Tikra, but according to Shmuel, who holds that Pishain Be'em Arba'a Machloket, Avayesh Be'em Arba'a Diveyakot Psula, Seifa B'may Pligin. Seifa is arguing about Bitul Tikra. The first question was making a Tikra. But here we're talking about there's a pre-existing Tikra. You're coming to ruin that Tikra. So Mar Savar, look, if you're coming to wreck it, there's obviously no point in answering you. So Mar Savar Batla Bachi, Mar Savar Bachi Lo Batla. It doesn't mean in our Mishnah literally kamotan. It means benichnas v'yotze. Well, why read it that way? I mean, certainly you could have used a ruler. It says kamotana, efshel it's I'm saying. Om Ravami, no, he means that purposely it was b'madiv. Rav Amar, what do you need all of this for? Afilo tema b'she'ino madiv. I mean, the whole idea over here is that if the aruchot or the shpudim are netunim shatim, so then the shach is made arev. If they're netunim arev, then you put the shach shatim. Oh, Baruchot Amita, but why in the world are Aruchot Amita still tummy? They're removed from the bed. That must be Misayel Rav Ami Bar Tevyumi. Rav Ami Bar Tevyumi holds even broken kelim can't be used for schach. And if schachah bivaloi kelim psula, no, says the Gemara. Certainly not a Mishnah like that. This is to be understood like Rav Chanan Amar Rav, who said regarding the Mishnah in Kelim that Ba'aruchah Ushtei Kra'ayim or B'Ktzarah Ushtei Kra'ayim. So over here, that's what our Mishnah is referring to, Aruchah Ushtei Kra'ayim, B'Ktzarah Ushtei Kra'ayim. Where was that? Could you remind me? Echid Batur Rav Chanan Amar Rav? That's on the Mishnah in Kelim. That's not. Mita mitamat chavilah mitaret chavilah devi Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachomim say even in pieces. Mitamet evarim mitaret evarim. Well, what do you mean by pieces? I mean, obviously, you don't mean if you splintered the bed. So, my new pieces. Omer Chanan Omer Rebbe, what we're referring to is an Aruchah Ushtei Kra'ayim and a Ktzarah Ushtei Kra'ayim because they can serve in a pinch as kelim. They can. Mabai Chazi. Yeah, I see you've never been out in the forest, my friend. Lebispechina aguda velometa valayu umishtei ashrei. Tikra she'in aleha ma'aziva. Suppose you have, in fact, a roof, you have a ceiling over your dining room, and it was not plastered. All you have is the wood that's in the ceiling. You never put the ma'aziva, which is a layer of plaster, on it. Generally, is what you see when you're sitting in the room. Sorry. You have rafters, only rafters. The Rebbe Yehuda Eimer, Beit Shammai Omrim. Mefakfek v'notelachat b'benatayim, u'Beit Hillel omrim mefakfek o notelachat b'benatayim. So Rabbi Yehuda says like this: you know this business about the that gzeirat tikra you guys always talk about. Well, that's Beit Shammai. I mean, Beit Shammai says, if you got a question like this, what are you going to do in order to make it kosher? Well, in order to make it kosher, first of all, this is a real roof, which means that it's really tasev olam hazeh. This is not a gzeirat tikra, right? Now you got to get rid of this roof. So you get rid of this roof. Well, you can pick up every roof beam and put it back down. And now you're making that roof for sukkah. So then there's no problem with tasavim and osri. But then the problem would be that you're still going to be left with a gzeirat tikra, wouldn't you? Because you've got pieces there that are roi for a tikra. So you'll have to take out every other piece. Take out every other piece. Then you can fill it up with kosher tzrach. But until you do that, it's not going to help just to deal with the tasav olam hazeh issue. You know, we'll see. The Gemara is going to be bothered by this. What do you mean? The fakfek, no telachat b'benatayim. I mean, once you're no telachat b'benatayim, then you've already made a new ceiling. You don't have to be in the fakfek. Okay, Gemara is going to ask that. Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim, Beit Hillel says, there is no problem of Gzerat Tikra. Therefore, you can either be Mefakfek, which is an act, and addresses the Tasev Lomanasi problem. You have now made a roof for a sukkah. Or you could take out every other one and put down Tzchach, and you've now made a roof for a sukkah. Either one works just as well, because there is no Gzerat Tikra. This works out perfectly, according to him. It's exactly what Reb Yehuda said in the previous Mishnah. As a matter of fact, it's so much what Reb Yehuda said in the previous Mishnah, what's the point of mentioning it? All that Reb Yehuda is saying here is, well, if anybody ever mentions anything about Gzerat Tikra, that's Beit Shammai. You don't have to pay any attention to that. But certainly, according to Beit Hillel, you don't need to address Gzerat Tikra.
How big are the boards here?
Rashi's assuming the boards are four, because that's Rashi's assumption, standard boards are four. So in other words, this is only going according to Rav, the way I explained it. The Rambam and the Rif have a completely different approach to the Mishnah, which is talking about boards of less than four. Rabbi Meir Omer, no telachat bi benatayim ve'no mefakfek. So here Rabbi Meir, I don't know exactly what Rabbi Meir is saying. He seems to be saying, well, it ain't going to do you any good to be mefakfek, which is true. I mean, according to Rabbi Meir, if there's gzeras tikra, what good is it to address tasav lo manasu? You're not better off than if you had made this thing in the first place. The previous Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said, you cannot use nesarim to make a roof. So what good is it to take the nesarim that are already on the roof, pick them up, put them down again? You're not doing any better. So again, it seems just very repetitious, this Mishnah. Now, Beit Hillel says the Gemara Bishlam of Beit Hillel, I understand, the only concern that Beit Hillel seemed to have, Tamayo is Tasev Elo Menasev. If it was really not made for a sukkah, then you got a problem with Tasev Elo Menasev. All right? So, Ima Fakvek, Avila Maisa, Yitontalach, Avila Taim, Avila Maisa. There's two ways to address that. The important thing is to do something to make this into a sukkah. I can do that either way. I can lift up every board, put it back down. Or I can ignore every other board and fill in the space with new schach. Either way, I've done something to create a new roof over my sukkah, and it should be perfectly kosher. But what in the world is Beit Shammai? Beit Shammai might tamayu. Imi shum tasev lo menasu. Is Beit Shammai's concern tasev lo menasu? Then why do they say you need both? You could choose either of these actions. Bechad asagi. If they really are worried about Gzeirat Tikra, then they shouldn't have said anything about Mefakfek, because it isn't going to help you. Because Mefakfek just lifts it up and puts it back down again. If they hold a Gzeirat Tikra, you're just going to be building a sukkah out of a non-kosher Gzeirat Tikra. So what good is it to lift it up and put it back down? That what they should have said is, there's only one thing you can do. Take out every other board and insert Tzchach. Why do they say either or both? So if it's Tasev Elo Menasi Es Tegomoras, then you could choose either one. Then no telachat mi benatayim, and only no telachat benatayim would be sufficient. Answers the Gemara. Clearly, they're arguing because they hold the olam mishum gzerat tikra. What they are concerned about is gzerat tikra. V'achiko amar afa pishe mefakfek. What they're trying to say is, don't think that you can rely on the pikpuk. It's not going to help. Because even if you lift up every board and you put it back down again, you're still going to have a problem of Gzerat Tikra. And therefore, you're going to have to be no telachat mibein ha-tayim. Then, yes. But ilo, if you don't take out every other board, lo. It's not going to help. Okay? That's the way I read Beit Shammai. Then Beit Shammai ends up saying precisely what Rabbi Meir said. Yochi heima seifa. Rabbi Meir omer, no telachat mibein ha-tayim, avolo yefak feik. That's what you just said, Beit Shammai said. That you have to take out every other one, but it won't do you any good to be mefakfek. Is that how you explain Beit Shammai? You said what Beit Shammai meant was mefakfek. Look, you could be mefakfek all day long, but it won't help you. You need to be no telachat mibein ha-tayim. So I know Beit Shammai. Indeed, says the Gemara, that's the point Rabbi Meir is making. Rabbi Meir is making what you claim is Beit Shammai's opinion is actually no lechako Beit Shammai Beit Hillel b'davar zeh. There never was such a machloket. Beit Hillel never suggested that you could ignore Gzerat Tikra. You have one serious problem here that goes beyond Tasev Elo Menasi that will not allow you to get away with just big mefakfek. You will have to be no telachat mibein ha-tayim, even aliba de Beit Hillel. Okay, so what's happening here? Basically, we are reasserting the machlokes, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. We're just inserting it into Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. We're saying Rabbi Yehuda says, I know who thinks about this Tikra problem. It's Beit Shammai. Rabbi Meir says, no, everybody agrees it's a Tikra problem. The same thing, he's arguing about it directly. We understand. If you make it dependent on Machlokas Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, you're basically saying, since Talokas like Beit Hillel, you're basically saying, my opinion is Beit Hillel's opinion. So here, Rabbi Meir is saying, my opinion is Beit Hillel's opinion, and there is a Gzerat Tikra.
And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, my opinion is Beit Hillel's opinion. It's a dog's a rat tikra. So I need a Mishnah to tell me this. Says the Gemara, so then my kamashman. So exactly what is the chiddush here? Do Rabbi Meir eat like zerat tikra? Rabbi Yehuda let like zerat tikra? What is it? Are we coming now to discuss the same thing that we spent the past day discussing? That was the past Mishnah. We had this machlokas. We don't just gratuitously throw in another Mishnah to make it into a question of a machlokas, do we? It's none. Misachachim bin Asarim, yesterday's Mishnah. Misachim bin Asarim div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Oser. No? So what'd you add? Omra Pia Barava, and Rabbi Yochanan, you're right. We must have misunderstood that original Mishnah. And indeed, the original Mishnah was not a problem of Gzerat Tikra. It was actually a new Gezerah. Reisha bin Asarim Mishufim Askina. What we thought was a discussion about boards of a certain width actually was a discussion of boards of a certain quality. It was talking about Nisarim Meshufim, where we had already cut these boards to side and we had sandpapered them. We papered them. So they are now ready to be built into your chair, into whatever you want. They're a do-it-yourself kit. And once you got a do-it-yourself kit, they're very similar to Kelim. And maybe the previous Mishnah was actually focused on Gzeirat of Kelim Naguba. You notice that we managed to sort of slip you right through the Gzeirat Kelim Sugya earlier by talking about those male and female arrows, you know. And here all of a sudden it turns out that the Mishnah was actually focused on Gzeirat Kelim. Says the Gemara. Yeah. But says the Gemara, wait a minute. So then how did you get away with that arrow business? According to Rabbi Yudah Merav, the Yomar Sichacha Bechitzim Zecharim Ksheira B'Nekevot Psula. I mean, is there a better gezera than to be gozer Zecharim Atu Nekevot? I mean, to tell me we're ready to have a Mishnah that will be gozer just to do it yourself, kit of sandpapered wood, but where you have an actual kli that consists of two parts that you're about to put together, the male and the female parts, we should be matir the male part and only after the female part. I mean, come on. I mean, one is much more reasonable to be gozer than the other, isn't it? Every arrow is a do-it-yourself kit, basically. So then how could he possibly have ignored the meaning? He's not going to be able to say that the previous Mishnah was a Mishnah that was talking about a different Gezerah called Gezerat Kelim. No. It's impossible. Yeah, okay, darn, we'll have to go back to Reisha Pligi B'Gezerat Tikra, and the Seifik Pligi B'Gezerat Tikra, and now I got to understand that Pligi B'Tarti Zibni Lomeli. Why do we need the same Machlokas twice? If it's not talking about Gzerat Kelim, so what are we talking about? Well, actually, you're looking at this as two different Mishnayot, and they're not, you see. Basically, what had happened here was that there was a conversation between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir that was an extension to the original Mishnah. And all that we're recording here is Rabbi Yehuda's response to Rabbi Meir. What happened was, the Seifa is Rabbi Yehuda, the Ka'amalai to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda hears Rabbi Meir saying this business about Gzerat Tikra, back in that first Mishnah. So he turns to Rabbi Meir and he said, oh, no, you're making a mistake. Amaika asarta bin Asarim, mishum Gzerat Tikra? That's what you're trying to tell me. I know about Gzerat Tikra. But that Gzerat Tikra was only said alibi de Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel lo gazri. To which Rabbi Meir said, not true. Gzeirat Tikra is not a machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel b'davar zeh. It's the normative halacha. Everybody accepts there's a Gzeirat Tikra. And therefore, this is only expressing the conversation that had occurred in the original Mishnah. Now, of course, this entire discussion only works alibi de Rav. Because alibi de Rav, we are talking about whether there is such a thing as Gzeirat Tikra. According to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Gzeirat Tikra. But according to Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there's such a thing as Gzeirat Tikra. So, Haini Chalorav, the Yom Machloket Pishish Be'Marba, ah, Rabbi Meir holds of Gzeirat Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Gzeirat Tikra. I understand that this whole Mishnah now makes sense. It's as a conversation about whether Gzeirat Tikra is a Machloket Pishish by Beit Hillel. Oh, thank you very much. Hello, the Shmuel, the Yomar B'Shein Be'en Arba Amachloket. According to Shmuel, who holds that the standard size tikra, which would be arba tvachim, and of course that's the case over here, because we're talking about an actual tikra, undoubtedly of standard size. Again, this is all Rashi's approach to the sugya. So even Rabbi Yehuda should be modin, in this case it would be possible. So now what are we talking about here in the Sefer? What is this machlokas now that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, all of a sudden, if it's a stam tikra, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, well, no, Rabbi, Beis Hillel holds it's enough to lift up each slat, put it back down again. I thought, Shmuel, I thought you hold the Rabbi Yehuda's maida, that it won't help to pick up a slat and put it back down again. What's he doing? Is he going back now on a shita in the first Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, indeed, yes. Do you recall that we discussed the difference between a case in which somebody is coming to address a problem, where we will not be gozer, and where the problem was not addressed? That's exactly the case over here. Here a person is coming along with an actual tikra. He knows he's got a problem. He's not going to use this tikra. He wants to be mevatel the tikra, right? So he's coming to be mevatel the tikra, are we going to make a gzeirat tikra? That's the machlokas. So comes along now this Mishnah to say that the original machlokas indeed was b'gzeirat tikra. Okay. Sefer b'may plige, b'bitol tikra konifligay. Mar savar b'tela ba'achi. Mar savar ba'achi lo b'tela. Rabbi Yehuda's kind of going, he says, look, according to Beit Shammai, even where a man has a tikra and he wants to undo that tikra, he has to look at it as if he's making that tikra from the beginning. And he's got to take out every other board or no good. But Beit Hillel doesn't hold that. Beit Hillel says, even though I agree there's a gzeirat tikra, if it's four, that's if you're coming to build it now. I said, there's nothing that indicates that you're aware of the problem of using a tikra. But somebody who's in his living room and is now ripping up his roof, we say, hey, buddy, what are you ripping up? Don't you know there's a problem? What are you, an idiot? So I'm going to tell him, well, but that's not enough because maybe you'll come to use the tikra. I said, what, are you crazy? I'm ripping up my roof. I'm going to come to use the tikra. So basically, it says, okay, if the person is coming to address Tassel Lamanasi, we're not going to make a gzera on him not to use materials because maybe he'll come to Tassel Lamanasi. It's an absurdity. Mamela, in this case, to wreck my roof, it's enough, says Beit Hillel, to lift up everyone, put it back down again. So there are indeed two different machlokas in. A machlokas about what size, again, according to Shmuel, about what size is included in the gzera tikra where you are coming to build a sukkah. And then there's a machloket again between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, this time how they learn Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, but basically boils down to a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir as to whether even when somebody is coming to be mitaken, the problem of Tasev Elamanasri, whether even in such a case we'll be applying to him the din of Gzirat Tikra. Perfectly reasonable. So this Mishnah is an expansion then on the previous Mishnah. One deals with the case where you're coming to make it. One deals with the case where you're coming to fix a Tasev Elamanasri problem, which is the same as the Tikra, of course. You look confused. This is something you'll be able to give over to kindergarten tomorrow. I know. Lucky you. But it certainly gives you a different perspective when you know you got to explain it to kindergarten. I mean, you have to really get it clear then. Okay.
Zuk the Heilige Mishnah.
Hamekare sukato bishpudim, o baruchot hamita. Now we get to cases where indeed we are using actual kalim as part of a Mishnah, part of a sukkah. The story's going to be, it's going to absolutely drive me crazy.
Ironically, it's not as loud as the other one over there, but we're now so conditioned to how quiet it is.
That is that what it is? Amen. Maybe that's it. So in a case where you went ahead and you used a spit, metal spits, and you put metal spits on top of your sukkah, and obviously you know you can't use those metal spits because they are classic diorita, kabali tuma, they're not gedulei karka, they have just about everything wrong that they could have wrong with them. And you can't, they don't, Beit Kibul is irrelevant to metal, completely irrelevant. So they're no-nos. Or you're using aruchot hamita. Aruchot hamita is basically bed slats, but it's the long side of the bed, as it's called the aruch. That still has a din of a bed. We'll see how much of it has a din of a bed and what point it's no longer a bed, just a piece of wood. If the space between the kosher space, the empty space, and the space that's being filled by a Dovrim Kabel Tumah is the same, then it's kosher. That's interesting. It doesn't seem you don't need to have a roof. Huh? As long as it's the same, it's kosher. Now you fill up the rest of it with kosher schach, and everything's okay. Finally, we get to the mission. We talked about it before. Digging out the haystack. Leaving the top of the haystack, not a sukkah at all, pure tas of luminosity problem. Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Lema tavit yufta de refuna b'reid Rav Yehoshua. Lemaisa, what we have over here in our Mishnah, is a description of a situation in which you have half and half. In other words, you're going to end up having, if you have every other shpod is missing. So you have the same distance between them as the actual shpudim themselves. So then you've got a situation in which you have an equivalent, an equal amount of space for the schach kosher and for the schach pasul. Now we have a similar case when it comes to Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, we have a mechitza. Once we get over the lovud level, in other words, you can make a mechitza out of just fine wires that are within three trochim of each other, so then the whole thing will be considered to be sealed up and it'll be lovud. The problem is, what happens once you get beyond lovud? Now, suppose you have three trochim between the wires. If you have three trochim between the wires, then mostly you've got empty space. That's not going to be a mechitza. How about if you got three tefachim space, three tefachim board, three tefachim space, three tefachim board, so it's exactly half and half. That's called Purutz Ga'omeid. Now, Purutz Ga'omeid is a machlokus b'mechitza Shabbos. If you hold that Purutz Ga'omeid is no good, so that for mechitza Shabbos, why over here is the area which is the Aruchot Amitah, or the Shpudim, which is not kosher schach, so for all intents and purposes, we give you that as Purutz vis-a-vis the schach. So you now have Purutz, Kenega the Omeid is exactly the same, saying over here that it's kosher. Wouldn't that be a tiyufta on Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua, who holds it when it comes to Parutz Komed Mulagabi Mechitza Shabbat, that that's considered to be a no Mechitza? So here too, it should be a no Sichuch. The Itmar, Parutz Komed Rav Papa Mar Mutar, Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua Omer Asudir. Says Rav Yeshua, Mait Kamotan Kenichnas V'yotze, what we're talking about over here is not that it's exactly the same. What we're talking about is that you're able to put in the psal, take it in and out easily. If you take it in and out easily, it must be somewhat larger. The empty area between the various shpudim must be somewhat larger. And if that's the case, we basically have mostly an area where it would be parutz. And since we mostly have it, all this we're going to see, that in order to pass the sukkah not to eat, you have a different shear that we saw earlier, that we have four, right?
Why are these metal pieces
that like this? They are pasul eschach. But we haven't seen the din of pasul eschach pasuling a sukkah yet. All we've seen is the din of pasul eschach not to eat under a piece of schach that is pasul that is four tefachim wide. Right? We didn't see what the din is if there's one piece of pasul eschach.
The Gemara is alluding to, like, you know,
no, it says only if it's four. All that we've discussed so far is pasul eschach on the side, which pasuls with arba amais, and pasul eschach in the middle that pasuls with arba tefachim. That's all that we've seen so far. Okay, what about a case where you're sitting directly under a piece of schach that's pasul? We also saw it, but it only referred to a case where you had a board that was four tefachim wide. And so far, we haven't seen any kind of issue with pasul. Mm-hmm. We haven't discussed really pasul schach very much. Here, we're not discussing pasul schach so much as discussing how much space open do you need in order to have
the space
to be able to put in and out the space, the schach. Always the klal in the Gemara is if I can insert something, there must be room to insert it. It's only if I build it up front so that I can build it, that it's exactly the same. But if I'm inserting Yotze v'nichnas, maybe we have the sugi by the oren, need a little bit of space. That's the thing. That's lasa, but lasa alone, you don't have three going into three.
Can
you
be so exact?
You're going to talk
about more parts.
Slightly more parts. Asks the Gemara about Efshe Litzamtzem. I mean, who's saying that that's the case over here? You're saying that it's benichnas v'yotze. I mean, is that just an arbitrary statement? Or are you trying to say that when you're making such a situation of shpudim, and you, removed every other shpud, or that it necessarily was made benichnas v'yotze? I mean, isn't it possible to have made it otherwise, and you'd have to tell me? Well, why are you saying that this is a norm? It certainly is possible to make exactly the same size parutz as omeid. Why are you saying otherwise? Omer Rabami, Bima'adif. No, says Rabami, the intent over here that he was answering Ravuna is that it was made specifically for that purpose to have the ability to be Motzi v'nichnas. Just to let you know, I mean, this is very strange, and the Tosfos does not like this explanation. You're asking Efshe Litzamtzem, and then you're saying, you did it, Bima'adif. I mean, so you're coming back saying the same thing, which is the question, what did you mean? What's the point of that whole discussion? Tosfos Girsas, as our president, asked, are not going to be that medactic that every one of these, and we're certainly not going to say it as the norm, would come out that way. But let's first learn how to argue like Rashi. So according to Rashi, the Gemara was just asking on the expression. You're saying biyotzi v'nichnas. Is that the norm? And Rabbani says, I'm not asserting a norm. I'm just telling you that obviously we'll have to say that the case in our Mishnah was where I bedafka made it, that it should be nichnas v'yotzi, and therefore there's dafka more area that is parutz, and since there's more area that is parutz, I now have schach kosher instead of having mostly or even half and half something which is omed with these posel schach. Rav Amar, Rav says, what's the problem? Afilu tema b'she'in ma'adif im ha'ya notanim shti notam erev erev notam shti. What we're talking about, you're assuming that you have basically these spits that are running lengthwise. You're saying, okay, so now I'm going to take, instead of a spit, I'm going to take some bamboo and run it in the same direction. That's not the case. If that were the case, you're right, we got a problem with parts kaimik. But suppose I run the bamboo now across the spits. So if I run it across the spits, there's always going to be area that is going over the spits, which means that there's going to be more bamboo than spit, right? Because, as a matter of fact, it's going to be supported by the spits. It becomes a major issue here. This becomes now a raya. Those that learn that a maimed is kosher bring a raya from this Mishnah. Because here you're using, a maimed means something that holds up your schach. Here you're using metal spits, to hold, which are bekabel tuma, to hold up your schach. The Mishnah is saying that's perfectly okay. Right? Here's another indication. We had indications before that there'd be no problem of supporting your schach with something that could be makabel tuma. Remember the other raya we brought was the case of the grain. The case of the grain, we're over there, the only problem was yadot. Why was the only problem yadot? If the grain itself is useful, so you're being maimed, it says it holds it down because it's heavy. They're sticky. Right? Wait. Don't jump. Give me a chance to explain. So again, this is how Rashi learns. There's a number of problems. The first problem, of course, is the maimed that I just mentioned, which according to so many shitas is problematic. Okay, but the Gemara doesn't know from this. But let's talk about now the pashut, the meaning of the Gemara. If it's coming along now to tell me that because I have rov schach kosher, so now I'm going to be mavatel the shpudim, similar to the case of building your sukkah under a tree, where we have kishachofta and you mixed all the schach together. Problem is, if you recall, Rashi said earlier, the case of choftam was that you mix the schach together to create a tarovet. Over here, where you put the bamboo on top of the spits, you don't create a tarovet. Where's the mix? There's no mix. I see very clearly things in this direction. I see very clearly things in the other direction. And Tosfos says this. How does Rashi call that tarovet? There shouldn't be any bittul when two things are all made separately. There's only bittul when they're interwoven, right? There's no interwoving here.
If you look up, it could look interwoven.
It would? I could clearly see the difference between the bars and the schach.
And the fact that the closeness less than 3 tefillin is not enough, that they're close to each other.
In terms of what?
To be considered one.
But that the point isn't oneness. The point is mixture. It's not the question of love that they shouldn't be in a separate location. There's something of a problem. There's another problem over here, which, by the way, has a lot of practical implications. Assuming, as many poskim do, that the question over here of this poritz and omed issue would be very much the same if I have something on top of my sukkah with the schach or on top of my sukkah above the schach. For instance, you very often find in modern buildings, you'll find a shpudim type of affair all the way on top of a multi-story building. You'll have like a shade device which has concrete.
Clothesline.
Yeah, or clothesline type things. It happens all the time. Running over your circuit, maybe 20 feet above your circuit. But it's over your circuit. Right? So now the question over there is often raised. Suppose those clotheslines, as often happens, are within 3 tefachim one of another. So now, does that mean that I view the entire thing as being one solid piece of clothesline? If so, I can't make sukkah underneath my neighbor's clothesline, which really happens an amazing number of times these things happen. I mean, different things sticking out and so on. If we're going to apply lavud to cases where there's no din of a mechitza, which does that mean that this is basically a sealed case? But isn't that similar to what's happening over here? Shpudim are very thin. So if I have a distance between the shprudim, which is somewhat equal to the size of the shprud, then what I ought to have over here is a solid roof. A solid roof of shprud. Then it would have possibly the entire roof, I wouldn't be able to say anything else. The obvious solution to this is that solidity does not define material. Right? Even if you're going to tell me this may have a din of a mechitza, it's still an invisible mechitza. You didn't turn the empty space into metal just because it's lovely. You may have turned it into, technically speaking, sealed space. But what does sealed space have to do with sikhuch anyway? It's a non-issue.
Isn't there a din that doesn't work unless you want it to work? What joins these unless you...
No, in terms of a mechitza, this would be a useful mechitza. But that has no implication to turning it into schach posel. Lovud isn't an extension of a thing outside of the boundary of its own material self. It doesn't extend shvudim to become bigger shvudim.
As if it's closed, but not
exactly right.
It's such open thinking.
So memela, if that's the case, it would well be irrelevant to our sugya. So we'd have to ignore that issue of it. What we're left with is the question of, do we have a place to put our schach? And that's our question of rov. Is it rov kosher? Is a sukkah that is half schach and half not schach, which is what our president asked, would that be kosher? That would depend perhaps on parts kaimed. And there, again, I'm just introducing the sugya here because we're going to have a lot more information on that. But there we have what appears to be a stira in the Rambam. Because the Rambam ignores what the Gemara seems to make it dependent on the machlokas and mechitzas of Poritz Ka'emet. And yet he paskins against himself in Shabbos and in Sukkah. So that whereas in Sukkah he's ready to say that if you have half psal and a half empty space would be kosher. There he says that we would say that it's Kiporutz. So there's a lot of issues that are going to have to be... I'll go into it again. I just want to... I have a bris that I have to... I have to run to my address, but thank you. Okay, so this is the way Rashi learns. As I said, Tosfos has a completely different approach. But Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow I'll go over some of the alternatives. There's also the other approach of the first mission of the Daf today. According to Rashi, it was talking about standard ceiling of 4 tefachim. But according to the Rambam and the Rif and some of the other Rishonim, it's talking about 3 tefachim, which is a mechayev, all different way of learning the sugya, of course. Oba Aruchot HaMitzah, the next case that we had, is that somebody uses what was once a whole kli to take care of his sukkah. In this case, he takes the sideboards of his bed. They're now not attached anymore to the longboard, to his headboard. And he's going to use them as his sukkah. So now, is this a proof? Let me say, Eli Rav Ami Bar Tevyumi. Does this prove Rav Ami Bar Tevyumi's contention? The Omer Rav Ami Bar Tevyumi, Sichecha Bevaloi Kelim Psula, that if you would take a kli, and you would, let's say you have a beged even. Slice the beged into thin bands that are not three etzbaot. So they're no longer makabel tuma. Can you use this as a sichuch or not? Rav Ami Bar Tevyumi says, no, you cannot use that as a sichuch. So that's what seems to be saying over here. You had a bed. It's no longer a bed. Now it's a piece of wood. But he says in the Mishnah you can't use it. Now, of course, this gets again into the big question of why people refuse to use those slats. We were talking about last night. Refuse to use those slats as their schach. What do they call them? Palfonim?
Plafonim,
right? Yeah. So they're very common over here. What they do is they take, you know what they make them out of? They make them out of the shipping containers. The junk wood of shipping containers and that they use for... forklifts, yes, for lifts. So you have, yeah, for pallets, for lifting. So they use this junk wood, rip them apart, smash them, and then they tie them and they sell them to just unfurl over your sukkah. So a lot of people say you can't use them because they're basically broken boxes. So when they were a box, then they were makabel tuma. And now they're broken boxes, they're still basically bavaloi kalim. Another problem, we talked about the earlier problem of Gzeras Tikra with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So here it seems to be saying that indeed Bavloi Kalim is possible. Answers the Gemara, not necessarily, because the meaning of the Mishnah may well be Kiryon Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe in another context, we'll see where that context is later, that the reference to Aruchot HaMitah is actually Ba'arucha U'Shtei Kra'ah. Now, what it was, Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe said, was that the reference to a broken bed is Ba'arucha U'Shtei Kra'ahim, B'Ktzara U'Shtei Kra'ahim, which means that we have basically the long board, one of the sideboards, together with 2 feet. Now, in those 2 feet, generally, you pop in the additional board on the side, you click it in. Or you can have the 2 long boards, basically, and the 2 feet that attach the, a long board and the 2 feet that attach the long board. Now, either way, what you've got over there is the makings of the frame of a bed. Because as we'll see, all you need to do now is to pop in the piece of wood that's going in the other direction, and you can prop them up against the wall, and then basically you've got a usable bed. And that's what we're talking about. And in such a configuration, it's considered to be that the bed is not broken, but you still have basically a useful bed. And we'll see in a moment where it was the Reb Chanan quoted Rebbe as saying this. But where that was, here too, Achidami Baruch HaShtei Kra'ayim, Tzara HaShtei Kra'ayim, that's exactly what he's referring to over here. Heche Yitmar Reb Chanan Omer Rebbe, where was that place? That's a Mishnah that we have basically in Kelim. As it says over there, Tznan Mita Mitama Chavila. A bed is only Mekabel Tuma if it's put together, not when it's in its separate pieces. And it's Metairet Chavila, you can only put it into a mikveh to be Metairet, if it's put together. And there's no point in being Matayah something which is broken. Then if you put it back together again, you may have a question of recreating that which was previously Tamei, which is a din of Tumei Yishana, which again is beyond our sugya. But there's certainly no way to be Matayah that way. So this is Rabbi Eliezer. Whereas the Chachomim say, Mitama Evorim and Metairet Evorim. This doesn't really make any sense. I mean, the Chachomim certainly couldn't say that no matter what the shape is, we got little pieces of bed that have been taken apart, it's going to still be Mekabel Tuma. I mean, it's just a broken kli. A broken kli is a Mekabel Tuma. So over there we ask, my Neil, what is the reference when it says Evarim in pieces? And there is where Reb Chanan quoted Rabbi is saying, we're talking about is an Aruch HaShtei Kra'ayim and a Ktzara HaShtei Kra'ayim. So where we have a long piece and 2 legs, or a short piece, whatever the bottom piece of the bed is, one of the long pieces on the side of the bed, those are considered to be already a non-broken bed. Why? Lamar chazi, what good are they? They're chazi, l'mispechino aguda, l'metev alayu mishtashli. What you can do is, look, all you have to do is pop in that extra piece, and then prop it up against the side. So whether it's the long side or the short side, basically, once you prop it up against the wall always has a little piece sticking out from underneath, you prop it up against that, and then you lay your, what they used to do is they used to, I mean, we do, we put like slats over it, they used to take ropes, but the ropes over it, which is what Ashley means, you throw down ropes. On top of that, you basically put your mattress or you rest on them. And that is considered to be, actually we still do that with lawn chairs kind of things. You know, we just like put in these crisscrossing plastic fibers and we just lie on that. So that's considered to be still a usable meat. And that was what it was referring to. But you can't bring a raya from here that there's a gezeira, even on something that's bechalal, not considered to be a kli, be something that's even less than 3 etzpot on 3 etzpot, like little pieces of begadim, that's bechal not viewed as a kli generally.
Tikra shenaleh maziva Rabbi Yudam Rabbi Shemai omri mefakfek v'no telachat b'benatayim Rabbi Telal omri mefakfek uno telachat b'benatayim. Rabbi Meir says, no, forget about the mefakfek. Either no telachat b'benatayim or bust, but ain't a mefakfek. So bishleim Rabbi Telal tamayim mishum tasev lo mena asui. So whatever you do, you do. If you're not locked by the time of it, it's just as good. But Beit Shammai makes no sense at all. So either one should be good. But only no to lock up the time is good. But you certainly don't need both. That's exactly what the Mishnah meant. Even though you're mefak fake, it won't do you any good. What Beit Shammai is saying, you need no to lock up the time in. Ilolo, but then Yochiyem a Sefer, Rabbi Meir Omer, no telachat b'benatayim avaloy yafak fake. You just said that that's what Beit Shammai said. Hakikomer, that's exactly what Rabbi Meir is saying. Lo nechlaku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, but the varze. So then, Maika Mashmalan, the Rabbi Meir eat like zirat tikra, Rabbi Yudah let like zirat tikra. I mean, that was the previous Mishnah. I fligu bochorazim na'adetnan, misachachin minasorim divir Rabbi Yudav Rabbi Meir Oser, omrav chir barav omrav Yochanan, reisha benasorim mishufim maskinan, omishum zerat kelim naguba. Oh yeah? And according to Rabbi Yudav Marav, the omar sichacha bechitziv zecharim kishera, minakevot psula, velo gazar zecharim atunakevot, So what are you going to say? And Sefer Pliki B'Gzirat Tikra. So I'm back to asking you. Sefer Rabbi Yehuda, the Kabbalah Rabbi Meir, look. Amaika Asarta Ben Asarim. Because of this Gzirat Tikra jazz, I swear to be Chamayudi Itle, Betelelo Gazri. To which Rabbi Meir replied, Lonech Laku Bet Chamayu Betelelo Badabaze. Saini Chalarav, Demra Machloke Peshiesh Bem Arba'a. Do Rabbi Meir eat like Gzirat Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda let like Gzirat Tikra at all of this adds up. But according to Shmuel, if we're talking about a standard ceiling, then we're talking about Arba. And Shmuel says only B'she'im Be'em Arba Machloket. But Yesh Be'em Arba, everybody is moda that there's a Gzeras Tikra. So then what are we arguing with? Sefer B'mai Pligei. Pligei B'bitule Tikra K'miflegei. Mar Savar B'tei La B'achi. Mar Savar B'achi Lo B'tei La. Ha'mekare Sukato B'shpodim O'baruchot Amita. Im Yesh Revach B'nehem K'motan. So then it's as if it's empty, and you can fill it up with kosher tzchach, and it's kosher. Hachotet begadish lasot lo sukkah, in a sukkah. Lema tavit yuvta revunim reidu Rav Yeshua, ditmar, porutz ke'omeid, Rav Papa mer mutar, revunim reidu Rav Yeshua mer asun, amlach revunim reidu Rav Yeshua, maike motan v'nechnas v'yotzei. Vo'ev shalut samtzeim, om revami means b'madif, rov amar afilu tema b'shein madif. אם היו נתונים שתי נותרם ערב, ערב נותרם שתי. ובארוחות המיטה לימן מסייל אל רבעמי בר תביומי. יום רבעמי בר תביומי שכחה בבלוי כלים פסולה. כי יום רב כאן אמר רבי, it may be talking about ארוחה ושתי קרעיים, or בקצרה ושתי קרעיים. Here too, he'd say the same thing. Baruchah shtei krayim, bikzara shtei krayim. What are you referring to, Rav Chanan Amar Rabbi? It's not. Mita mitamet chavila o mitaheret chavila divrei Rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim omrim mitamet evarim o mitaheret evarim. What is the evarim? And on that said Rav Chanan, quoting Rabbi, aruchah shtei krayim, ksara shtei krayim. What good is it? Masbachina aguda lemeisav aleo umashta ashrei. And that makes it basically into a bed.